And Lord, we will put on the Lord that she's there to represent the partial disruption of also, Lord, the people of Kimberly, Lord, Mr. Autumn and Grow from Frank, Lord, bless the kid can see them well, Lord, and keep them from COVID-19, Lord, and protect them and keep them all as well. And we'll call Stephen also, Lord, provide for him and keep him, Lord. And I'll pray him on next point time and roof him as we go into a new week, Lord. Roof Esther as well, help her and her firmness, Lord, and give her strength, Lord, and ease her pain as well, Lord. Roof Stephen Pathard also, Lord, and their Steve's leg, Lord, and hopefully the antibiotics will heal his leg, Lord, and his infection in his leg, Lord, and ease him and give him some sleep and provide for him and keep him, Lord, as well, Lord. Roof this night, Lord, give Christ a touch of the Spirit, Lord, and use it to guide us and divine the gospel, Lord, and show us what Thou wants us to know, Lord, and use it as a guide for our life, Lord. Lord, we use Lord Jesus Christ as our guide in life, Lord. Lord, bless us and keep us, Lord, and be with us this week as we go through this night. For Jesus Christ again, Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
That's this number first.
Okay, Lord.
54.
Sword, a sh- shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When the world gets so dark you can't see, and I've not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. When I think what it cost just to hold in my hand, it reminds me that I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who'd go to the stake and quote it with their dying breath. Well, its critics are many and believers are few, but one thing I find to be true, when you find when you read it that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, God keeps me from sin.
And will you come ahead?
Turn tonight to Job chapter 18, or Job chapter 18, some people would say. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, how long will it be ere ye make an end of words? Mark, and afterwards we will speak. Wherefore are we counted as beasts and reputed vile in your sight? He teareth himself in his anger. Shall the earth be forsaken for thee, and shall the rock be removed out of his place? Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, and his candle shall be put out with him. The steps of his strength shall be straightened, and his own counsel shall cast him down. For he has cast into a net by his own feet, and he walketh upon a snare. The djinn shall take him by the heel, and the robbers shall prevail against him. The snare is laid for him in the ground, and a trap for him in the way. Terror shall make him afraid on every side, and shall drive him to his feet. His strength shall be hunger-bitten, and destruction shall be ready at his side. It shall devour the strength of his skin, even the firstborn of death shall devour his strength. His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring him to the king of terrors. It shall dwell in this tabernacle, because it is none of his. Brimstone shall be scattered upon his habitation. His roots shall be dried up beneath, and above shall his branch be cut off. His remembrance shall perish from the earth, and he shall have no name in the street. He shall be driven from light into darkness, and chased out of the world. He shall neither have son nor nephew among his people, nor any remaining in his dwellings. They that come after him shall be astonished at his day, as they that went before were affrighted. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him that knoweth not God. Amen.
Thanks, Rob.
Amen. I just want to, first of all, welcome everybody again to church, especially Christy. Because it means I get to listen this evening and don't have to come up with a message in the next 7 or 8 minutes. But John, you just keep your foot to that door there and don't let your man out. Appreciate everybody being here. Thank you for the reading this evening, of course this morning too, and for the message. I'm thanking Christy in advance just to make sure that he doesn't make a dash for the car park. But it's good to be here, it's good to be saved, it's good to see each one of you. I'm glad to be here, and I know it's a battle. I know it's a battle getting out, because Solomon said so, and the new and the old natures are forever at war against each other. It's good to be here. I just want to remind you of the little green prayer list. Make sure you get one. Make sure that you, at least once in the week, it doesn't take very long, it would take you like 5 minutes to read through that. That, it looks imposing with the 4 little sides, but it's not even one A4 side of paper, and there's a lot of people and a lot of things that do deserve your time and prayer. Just especially ones that are different. Please pray for Christy as he works towards the, if you say final completion of something, is that like a totality or something? But you know what I mean. He's got the end of his PhD is in sight. Would ask for prayers. He's not just doing his PhD. He's also working for a living. He's helping me out, helping us all out of a Sunday evening. And he's got his nana to look after and a wedding to plan. So he's got a full plate, and I appreciate all that he has done this past 14 months. So please do pray about that for him. Please continue to pray for Ling. Ling, she is self-isolating because of possible COVID-19 exposure a week and a bit ago. So she's looking forward to being back with us as soon as possible. So please do pray for her. We also have a prayer request for Will's sister-in-law, Naomi's Aunt Beth. Is that?
She passed away.
Yeah. She passed away, I have it written down here. Is that the right reference? Is it your sister-in-law's auntie or your daughter-in-law's aunt? That's it. Passed away. Please do pray for the whole family at this particular time. And for a friend of Christine's, Beryl's daughter, has bad... Excuse me. Bad arthritis. I suppose it's a bad time. Christy. We were just talking about the being in the heat and then going out into the cold and being in the heat. Beryl's daughter has very bad arthritis. She's in bad shape with it. She's only young, comparatively speaking, and not yet saved, so please do pray for her. We took private prayer requests, and everybody plus Frank is on the list, so please do remember all of those. Anything else we would need to be thinking about or praying about? Okay. Just want to thank everybody for their prayers for Monica's mom, Pat Haynes. She had a procedure to stop and start her heart. Shock it. I suppose if we had turned up there and just gone like that there, that might have done the job. But she's had irregular heartbeats and this, that, and the other the past wee while. The procedure seemed to go well. I think they'll know in a few weeks' time whether it's actually kicked in or not. And another thank you for Lydia and her baby. Both doing well, new baby. I think that's really about that. The only other thing is, does anybody have anything else? Is there anything else that comes to mind that we need to be thinking about or praying about?
Brexit
again?
Yeah.
And the current situation with the English government. Mm-hmm. I'll put it down there. Putting the date down too. Alright. Right, let's have a word of... We'll bow our heads and close our eyes and we'll have a wee word of prayer, and then we'll hand back over to Christy. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening, for the souls that are here, for the houses, the homes that are represented. And I pray you, Lord, please, for your good hand upon us. Please take this time, Lord, to minister to us. Please, Lord, I pray, inspire Christy and give him the words to speak to us this evening. And Lord, as we continue on through the book of Acts, thank you, Lord, for his willingness and diligence to keep on helping out and to covering me as we work our way through
the book of Acts. I pray also for the closing out of his PhD and all of the other tasks that he has in hand. And Father, just thank you for him. Just remember, Lord, a big connection or a lot of prayer requests specifically for Will and his family and friends, for his boss's family, Lord, that you would be with them in the wake of losing a daughter-in-law, Lord. Pray you too, Lord, for other in-laws, Lord, that Lady Beth and her family as well, Lord, that you would just be with them at this particular time too. We're thankful, Lord, however, for Lydia and her new baby. Lord, we really do need you, and we thank you too for Pat Hain and the seeming success of the treatment on her heart. I pray you, Lord, that it would be a real step up in helping her to get back to her full strength again. Lord, there are so many things going on in the world. I pray you, Lord, please, that you would still oppose those that are just set on devilment and wickedness and tearing people down. I know, Lord, there are people that in ignorance oppose you, but there's people out there, Lord, that just are out and out against you. And I pray you, Lord, please, that you would slow them down and stop them and frustrate their devices at every single turn. You know the state our country's in, Lord, and I pray you for that, for America, for Russia and China, for all the shenanigans that's going on, the saber rattling, the maneuvering, all the stuff that's going on, Father. Please, I pray you. Lord, we pray your will would be done. We want souls to be saved, Lord. We would all like a bit of peace and quiet and for justice and right to be done. But Lord, we know things are going to get worse and worse before your return. Please work in the hearts and minds of all of those that are in positions of responsibility and power. And please, Lord, really, really do convict them and work on them. Think too on the preachers, Lord, and Brother Stan at this particular time of a Sunday evening especially. Brother Bissett too, and the many other men that are standing and preaching the full counsel of King James, Lord, that you would inspire them, that you would give them the words to speak and speak even to them as they speak to us. Lord, not just here, but across the world. We know some are just finishing. We know some are contemplating starting a service maybe in a few hours' time. Lord, wherever it is, please, Lord, speak to the hearts and minds of saved and lost alike. Save those that are lost and edify those that are saved. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for your many helps and blessings and all your great gifts. I pray you, Lord, for our private prayer requests and for your will to be done there too. We love you and thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Christy, it's you, brother. Thank you very much.
Christine Norman, Mark Armada, a number.
Thirteen
in the black. And you have one as well, Monica, and then whoever doesn't get concludes the service. How about that?
But thou art
Whoever chooses now doesn't get to finish the service. 111.
And you're not
going to
pull with the
second
choice.
Well, it does not sound familiar. Did we sing it?
Three or four times, but if not, I have another one.
Was I here?
Let's try it. Let's stand and let's sing up good advice.
Three pieces of
114. Oh, sorry,
111.
Okay, that's why you don't care. I was thinking of 114.
We've sung that too recently.
Share that, you know, it's not just peace that once you receive salvation, there's a daily peace and there's a circumstantial peace as well. Mm-hmm. I think as recently as yesterday, I was thinking about something, you know, that needs done and something that the Lord needs to provide for. And he said to me, you know, haven't I seen you through this far? And just gave me a great peace, and then a trusting came from that peace as well. But it's good to have that peace. And I know we're a bit rigid in the services, but if anyone has a word on their heart, feel free to share. We'll open up the floor for 2 minutes if you want. If not, we'll move on with the study. But if anyone has something on their heart, then now's the time. Speak up or forever hold your peace. You can be turning the Acts 15 in preparation. Acts 15. We're going to read 12 verses, the first 12 verses in this chapter. As a continuation, and our topic tonight is the functioning church, and I know you didn't guess that one. Functioning church. Last call for any words on hearts, any encouraging words, anything at all. It was done in the early church, as we've seen, but we can do it too if you want or not. All right, let's start reading at verse number 1. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phenice and Samaria, declaring the conversation of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Amen. Mark, could you lead us in prayer?
Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this wee bit of time. I pray you, Lord, for your good hand upon Christy and upon us this evening, Lord, as we sit and study your word. Father, I pray you for alertness. I pray, Lord, for a putting together of thoughts and tying together of all the threads that make up the picture of the Gospels and your word, Lord. I just thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, even though our country is circling the drain. I thank you for it, and I thank you for being born into it. I thank you that we still have the freedoms that we do have. Please work in the hearts and minds of many of our countrymen and our brethren. Please, Lord, still work in the saving of souls. But I pray, Lord, that you would take not just this time for ourselves, but for all those that listen in to the services that are gleaning a bit of strength from it, and comfort and encouragement. And I pray, Lord, for your good hand upon all of us. Bless Christy as he speaks, as he teaches, as he preaches, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that the words would find a soft place in our hearts. And Lord, that they would be helpful for us. We love you and praise you, and we ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. The functioning church. A church that is... Again, actually, let me... I'm jumping ahead of myself. Previous week's study... was the seeing it through church. We looked at Paul just after he was stoned, when they took him out, and the next day he rose up and went into the city, and they travelled through the areas where the people came from that stoned him, and he kept preaching, and he saw the missionary work through, to the which it is recorded in Acts 14 that they fulfilled their work, and what a testimony it was. So that leads us into this point. They're back, they've gathered all together, all those that were at Antioch, to rehearse the work that God had done through the Gentiles. And here we are at this point. But a church that is alive and healthy has times of growth. It has times where questions are raised, where problems and issues arise. And today I want us really to look at how the church functioned when this question arose, or when this problem incurred. How it was dealt with, and who dealt with what, and what people were brought in. Because this church, the early church, consisted of many people of vastly diverse cultural backgrounds, and it still does today. Many of us come from all different sorts of backgrounds and families and lands and languages, and that's okay, but That gives varying opinions upon certain situations or matters. And this is what we find here. So we're still at Antioch. Paul and Barnabas have got up, told all the works that has happened amongst the Gentiles. And then verse number 1 brings us right in and says, certain men which came from Judea, they taught the brethren. So they are believers. They're teaching in the congregation, in the church. But their background is they're Jews, obviously. They come from Judea. But circumcision is so important to them that they want the Jews to be circumcised before, or the Gentiles to be circumcised before they'll recognize them as being saved. I want us to notice Paul and Barnabas' intent. They're intently listening. They're listening carefully. They didn't just finish this missionary journey and rest in their laurels and sit back and soak up everything that they've been told in their home church in Antioch. They listened exceptionally well, and they heard this this heresy that was preached or taught amongst the brethren. And they get up and they start disputing. Their first reaction was to convince these men that they were wrong. They start disputing with them. There is a dissension among them. And it's so vast and so wild that people rise up and say, we're not solving this here, let us go to Jerusalem. In verse number 2. It says, Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles. It doesn't tell us who determines that. It almost seems like it was the church as a whole, as it was taught in the church. The church decided, okay, no one's backing down here. We've never come across this. The gospel's just opened up unto the Gentiles. So let us go to the sending church, which is Jerusalem, and let us see what the elders and the apostles have said. But these Jews believed that you had to be a Jew first before you could become a Christian. And that's just not so. The covenant that God made with Abraham did include circumcision, and the Jews have kept that as a sign through the centuries, and that's okay. It's an outward sign of that that covenant between God and Abraham. Doesn't mean that that should be applied, or that we should have to go through the law of Moses to be salvation and be part of the church, but this is what these people were holding to. And by this teaching, these men were given a negative judgment to all that Paul and Barnabas had done and been through on their missionary journey. They had led many to Christ. They had founded many a church, all without bringing anyone through the law of Moses. There wasn't a mention of the law of Moses at all. And these men were saying, they're basically invalid, they're illegitimate, they're not saved because they didn't come through the law of Moses. They haven't been circumcised and they're not living by the law. And Paul addressed this specific subject in Acts 13:39 is where we're reading. It says, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So he addressed it in an earlier sermon, and here he is again having to address it in the church where you don't expect to have to address it, but so be it. Sometimes, because of the background culture that we've come up through, we bring those habits, those opinions with us into the church as it is today, and this is what happened. This is what happened. It wasn't just a little side issue that could be or could take on the approach of let's agree to disagree. This was an issue that cut to the very core of Christianity. It's salvation itself. The questions raised here was, is faith alone enough? Is the work of Jesus enough, or do we have to add works to it to be saved and to be cleansed and made righteous before God? This is a topical question. A lot of religions still believe what these men of Judea preached today, that we need to keep the Ten Commandments and many more for salvation. So let's just see what the church got on to do. They're on their way to Jerusalem. They're passing through Venice and Samaria, and a great reaction through Venice and Samaria when they recount all that God had done for the Gentiles. The salvation that came to many a house, the words that they were able to preach, and the great miracles that they had done. And Paul and Barnabas, they found some Christians to rejoice with them. It's always concerning to me when Christians don't get excited or joyful at other souls getting saved, but instead raise questions or raise issues. And here, and that's what the reaction was at Antioch, but here in Venice and Samaria, they rejoice. They rejoice in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, so we should rejoice here as a church as well. It says, when they come to Jerusalem, they received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. There's a hearing in the church of Jerusalem. There's a hearing of both sides. They don't know. They'd only know what they've been brought up on in church, in the church in their earlier days, all the rituals of the Jews. Many of them have went through them, but now they believe the gospel. So they hear that, they hear the matter again that Paul said, Paul recounts everything that was done by God through them, through all the cities that he passed through on that missionary journey. Then a certain sect of the Pharisees obviously known for their great love and desire to obey the law to the very minutest detail, to the finest of detail. Mark hit on some of them this morning, on some of the mint and aloes and cumin and all those things that they would tithe of. But Jesus said of them that they forgot the weightier matters of the law. Mm-hmm. Judgment, mercy and grace to do them. They should not do one and withhold the other. That's what Jesus said of it. But they stand up and they say, they disagree openly at the church of Jerusalem. They say, now they are, I must say, they are Christians. It says the Pharisees that believed. They're Christians, but you can't just undo a background, a life of being a Pharisee or a life of being anything. It takes work. It takes time. And this is a new issue really raised. To this point, we have seen many attacks on the church. We've seen outward influence trying to infiltrate the church. We've seen inward corruption trying to collapse the church. And here we have a false doctrine, maybe the greatest attack of all on the church, trying to take it down. It was Satan's desire that this false doctrine should succeed. But if not, if it should fail and fall on flat ears, that it would sour the church and cause great division amongst the believers. That was the goal. And we see there is the very potential here to happen as Paul and Barnabas give their case. And then these Pharisees raise up and said, no, we think it's needful to have them circumcised. We think it's needful for them to abide by the law of Moses. The apostles and elders, after hearing it, they come together to consider the matter. They get together, the leaders in the church, the elders, the ones who have been around the longest or have proved themselves faithful and been ordained in positions of leadership. They come together. And verse 7 says there have been much disputing. And I think that's a good thing. People would take that as a negative, but for a church to care so much about a matter, to come together and dispute it, to hear everyone's opinion on it, that's a good thing. Maybe we could use that today. This is a public trial of doctrine. The whole church heard the matter. Then the leaders in the church came together to discuss it and discuss the offense and defense of that was brought for both sides of the argument. And there are a few doctrines today that I wish could go in public trial and we could just fully weigh them up. I'm sure you all know one of them because I mention it very often, but certainly Calvinism is one of them that should be publicly tried. Doing the best you can is another one. But there's a lot of disputing, and with that disputation uprises Peter. And I'm sure that there was many people who thought, I've been in this church longer, so my voice should have a higher volume or more weight to it. And Peter cuts through the nonsense and he rises up, and then we see the response of Peter. Now keep in mind that Peter was the first one whom God worked through to the Gentiles. Remember that vision that we spoke of? I think it was in Acts chapter 10, where the great veil came down from heaven and there was all manner of, in the Jewish law, unclean animals that they shouldn't eat. And the Lord said to Peter, slay and eat. And Peter said, Lord, not at any time with anything uncommon or unclean enter my mouth. And it happened three times, then they were all drawn up. And Peter, after thinking about that vision often, came to the conclusion that God was telling him not to reject any man or not to withhold the gospel from any man, whether Jew nor Gentile. So with that background, Peter gets up and he says, listen up, everyone, men and brethren, leaders in the church. You know, he gives them a bit of history lesson, and it hasn't been that long ago. He said, a good while ago, God used me to reach some of the Gentiles. He told me that the Gentiles should hear the word of God by my mouth and should believe. And he goes on to say to them that God knows their hearts. God can tell if it's a true repentance or not, if it's a profession or an empty confession. God can tell if they truly believed in the resurrection. And he bear them witness by giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And he goes on as well to say that the difference between us and them is abolished. There's no difference anymore. And I like the point that he makes. Not only are they saved and Christians saved by faith or through faith, we're purified by faith as well. Our hearts are made clean by faith in Jesus Christ and in his blood. Now one might ask, what harm would it have been to put the Gentiles under the law of Moses? But let me draw your attention to verse number 10. And Peter's response. He says, you're tempting God. You're wanting to put a yoke around the neck of the Gentiles that our fathers or us couldn't even bear. We couldn't even live up to the expectation of keeping the law of Moses, yet you're wanting us to truly in good conscience ask the Gentiles to obey every law in the book of Moses or in the books of Moses. He said, that's an unfair standard. That's not the gospel. That's not the way God wanted it to be. And notice the order of his statement in verse number 11. He didn't say in verse 11 that they can get saved like us. He said we can get saved like them. Mm-hmm. And he said it like this, but we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. He didn't say that they shall be saved even as us. And we know that salvation came to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. But I believe he was making a very important point there to say that yes, they're saved. And if some of us amongst us today are not saved, you can be saved like they have been. Without all the former rituals or traditions or beliefs of the former life, just through faith, by God's grace in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't refute the argument, because he had gave them great evidence through the works that God had done through him, through the house of Cornelius. Cornelius and all his house had been saved. And he had given them great words, great heavenly wisdom, filled words, and there was no refuting that. Notice that the Pharisees didn't rise up again, that these men from Judea didn't rise up again to say, but, we think this or we think that. There was no answer to that. It was matter settled. The hammer was laid down on the desk. And here we have salvation unto all men, the gospel opened all, everywhere, through Jesus Christ alone. These Pharisees clung to a legalistic form. They had clearly believed in the resurrection, but a bit of legalism had kept and stayed in their hearts. I'm not saying not to preach against sin, because that's not legalistic to preach against sin. What's legalistic is to expect a work or a deed to add to your salvation or give you a greater impotence or a greater standing in the love of God. That's what legalism is. And that has no place in the church of God or in the gospel. No place at all. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, is what the Bible says. And let me also tell you, John 3:17, God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The law is the thing that condemns people, and Jesus is the thing whereby people are saved from the law. Hebrews calls it a schoolmaster whereby we can come to Christ. And that's exactly what it is. The law shows us where we're weak, and God provides our strength in Jesus Christ to reconcile us to God. And they give ear to Barnabas and Paul after this in verse number 12. And they hear again the miracles and the wonders that God had done among them. And I'm going to cheat a little bit after it. Verse number 13 goes on, and they listen to James. James has the final say in the matter. After hearing both sides, after hearing the leaders get together, and many have said that James was the brother of Jesus, here that he was the leader in the church at Jerusalem, he was a pastor. And that's why he got the final word, and it was so. So the church clearly has a proper order to function. Yes, everyone's opinion does matter, but everyone's opinion's not right. Yes, every doctrine, we can hear it and we should weigh it up and weigh it against the Bible, but it doesn't mean it's right. Paul and Barnabas showed true hearts of a shepherd, willingness to confront anyone and to contend with anyone who was promoting false doctrine in the church. And that's what we ought to do. The doctrines of the church are sacred. They're not from man. They're from God, and they should be protected as such. They should be handled with such care, not to be added to, not to be taken away from, just to remain as is. Just like God never changes, neither does his doctrine. We shouldn't let anything creep into the church that tells us that a soul can't be saved because of something that they've done in the past, because that's not biblical. It certainly wasn't then, and it certainly isn't now. God loves all men everywhere and is willing to save all men everywhere. The blood of Jesus is powerful to reach those in the depths of despair and the great darknesses that sin has. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound, the Bible says. Amen. For a church to properly function, they need to deal with issues quickly and spiritually. They need to deal with them in the proper order, give them their proper place. I want you to notice that there was no soul winning when this was going on. There was no missionary journeys being planned. Everything halted, and we dealt with this issue at that time. The church set aside every bit of activity, every bit of outreach, all the daily ministration to the widows that would happen. Everything took in the back burner until this issue was sorted out. Because it was that fundamental. It was fundamental to the moving forward of Christianity. It wasn't one where you could leave it to the individual conscience of every believer. Because God can't have people within the same church going to different people and telling two people different things on how to get saved. That's what the devil would have us do. God's word's the same for all men everywhere. Amen. Let us be a functioning church. There will be times of questions. Of course, we all have questions. We all have opinions that we have carried through from past habits, from just our backgrounds. We are a product of our environment, of course. Questions aren't a bad thing. But I hope today that it's opened up on how the church should handle questions, issues, and false doctrine. Let's be a functioning church. And Christine, you're choosing the closing, I think. If you have one, if not, we can open the floor.
Let's stand as we sing this.
What a wonderful redemption.
and my blessed Lord I see. Every need his hand supplying, every good in him I see. On his strength divine relying, he is all in all to me. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. By the crystal flowing river, with the ransomed I will sing, and forever. Of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see.
And the church is either growing grass or cutting weeds. Sometimes you can't do both at the same time. There's a time for growing grass and there's a time for cutting weeds. Well, would you close us out, please?
Dear Father, thank you for this night, Lord, and thank you for the message of Christy. Share with us from the book of Acts, Lord. Use it in our lives, Lord. May it give us a new perspective on the work of the early church, Lord, and in our lives. Use it for the week and the months and the years to come, Lord. And keep us in our hearts and our minds, right upon the tables of our heart, Lord. But if the churches throughout the land, Lord, as they're coming to an end, Lord, and the churches throughout the world, Lord, both our Fifth services and our Black and Guinness services, especially in the States, Lord. And use it, Lord, use the Spirit, Lord, to convict people of their sins, Lord, when they come to fulfill the word of cross and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, save them from their sins, Lord. For only that is salvation, and only through the shed blood of Christ is salvation of sins, Lord. With us tonight, Lord, give us the cares, Lord, to pass our homes in safety, Lord, and be with the people that couldn't make it out tonight, bless them and keep them safe and well, Lord, and bring them into the house next one at a time. Give us this night, Lord, pray for our nation. Help those that have got COVID-19 save their lives, but primarily, Lord, save their souls, Lord. Mm-hmm. And Lord, help us heal our nation, Lord, and not only us, but in the States and throughout the world, Lord, as well, Lord. Help the persecuted church, provide for them and keep them, and minister up to them and bless them and love them. Give us this night for thy honour, for thy glory, for Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Amen. Amen.